You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Matthew Leach and Paul Hagan.
Hi, and welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, joined by Paul Hagan. And today we're talking about the Baltimore Orioles, who somewhat quietly have staked a decent little lead in the American League East. They're not really threatening to run away with it, but they certainly are in control of the division. What's going on here, Paul?
Well, I don't think anybody is going to run away with this division this year, but the Orioles, as you said, made a couple shrewd late pickups off the free agent market, and Nelson Cruz certainly has been a guy that has made a huge impact on them, and I don't think they feel like they're playing their best baseball yet, that they have a chance to really sort of play better and really make the other teams come chase them.
Yeah, it's clear they're a team to take seriously, and we'll be talking to MLB.com's Brittany Giroli about what's going on with those first-place Orioles.
We're now joined by MLB.com's Brittany Giroli, who is covering a first-place club. We're starting to see rumors about this team inquiring on starting pitching, and it's sort of an interesting situation because there's maybe not a clear one, but there is depth. Does this team really need a starting pitcher?
It's tough to say because, you know, they have, in recent days at least, I'm told, dangled Miguel Gonzalez, who's been an excellent pitcher for them. He's got a sub-2 ERA in the past month. So I think they're looking for ways to upgrade that rotation. Really was throwing a wrench into this whole matter is Ubaldo Jimenez, their four-year, $50 million man, is on the disabled list, has really kind of stretched out this ankle injury and hasn't pitched well even when he's healthy. So the Orioles aren't really counting him. They're trying to accumulate some depth because they know that the starting rotation is the big weakness here when you look at this club overall. Sure, they could use the sixth or seventh inning bullpen guy, maybe a left-handed hitting bat, and upgrade there as well. But really, it's that rotation that they're focused on. Because when you look at the postseason, the teams that are there and the teams that advance are the teams that have very threatening starting rotations.
Do they think that there is a guy who would start in a postseason series for them out there that they could get? I mean, there are some number one types. Do they think there's a guy who would be a 1-2-3 type that they could make a deal and get done?
They're not sure. You know, they're testing the waters. Obviously, there's not too many top-end guys. They're not going to get David Price within the division, and that's if the Rays even decide that they're going to put him on the block, which, you know, the way the Rays have been playing lately, maybe they don't. But the Orioles feel like, you know, they're going to do their due diligence. They're going to see if there's any legitimate upgrades out there. Because if there is, the way this division is situated and the Orioles being four games up in the AL East, you can't take that for granted. On one hand, this is the club that got you there. On the other hand, you got to go for it, I think, at this point in time. You're almost in August. The Orioles look like the team to beat right now in the division.
You kind of touched on this a little bit, but if not starting pitching, then what? What else could this team use between now and the deadline?
The sixth and seventh inning man, I think, is big because Jaron O'Day and Zach Britton have been so good in those late innings. If you could just get to those late innings of the league, feel real good about it. Now, again, because the starters have been inconsistent at times, getting a guy who can be that bridge to the back end of the bullpen would really make them formidable. Now, if the starters start going deeper, does it become less of an issue? Of course, but they're still looking to potentially upgrade there. Second base is a position where defensively they've gotten a lot from Jonathan Scope and Ryan Flaherty, but offensively, really not a whole lot there. I think they're hesitant to make a move because they're such a defense-first type of club, but they're also going to explore options there, particularly left-handed hitting options, because without Matt Wieters, who's a big switch hitting bat in that lineup, they really don't have a whole lot of left-handed hitters that scare you.
This is sort of an ongoing topic, obviously, but either as a starter who bumps somebody to the pen or as a reliever, how does Dylan Bundy potentially fit into this equation of looking for rotation help and bullpen help?
I think the only way he fits in has to be as a bullpen guy, because if they have that self-imposed 75-pitch limit, which they say they're going to stick to, from more than 75 pitches, how can he be a starter? Now, I mean, he could be incredibly efficient to be a starter, but I just don't see it happening. I think the only way he helps this club, if he helps this club at all, he did pitch six scoreless innings yesterday. the Orioles said that, you know, he did pretty well. I heard from a couple scouts that he's still not close with the same guy. He's still struggling to get that velocity up there. It used to be an easy 95. Last night it's more of a 92, 93. He really has to try to get it up. So I think putting any emphasis on Dylan Bundy helping the club is probably not smart. But if anything, he's going to help in the bullpen. I don't think you can expect him to be in this rotation this season.
Is that realistic at all, that he could be a bullpen option, that if he's a guy that if he lets it go, maybe that velocity comes back a little bit? Maybe you know, sometimes you plug a young starter in and he does some things in the bullpen.
Maybe, although coming back from Tommy John surgery, I don't know if the Orioles would like for him to start being a guy who could pitch back-to-back games or, you know, 3 out of 4. I don't know how he would respond to that. So while it might be tempting to do what the Rays did with David Price in 2008, bring him up for the playoff push as a power arm, if he's having trouble with velocity and he's not really letting go on some of the secondary pitches, he might be better served just taking this year to really regroup and hopefully become the Dylan Bundy that the Orioles saw when they drafted him in the first round.
To kind of change gears a little, one spot you mentioned second base, and there are two positions where this team isn't really getting the kind of offense I think it would need, and that's second base and catcher. Are there internal options? Are there external options? With those two spots, how do they look at those two spots? Obviously, catcher, you're not going to add a long-term guy. You've got a guy there. But how do they look at those two spots where maybe they could get some improvement offensively?
Well, like I said, the issue is defensively, they like what they've gotten out of both those spots. So it's hard to sacrifice that because they place so much emphasis on making the right plays. And now you see when you play some other clubs, Chicago jumps to mind, the Nationals, teams that weren't as strong defensively, it's a big deal. You know, it really changes the complexion of the game. And while Jonathan Schoop and Ryan Flaherty really haven't gotten it done in second base, defensively the Orioles prefer them. And even to their internal options, you know, Steve Lombardozzi down there at AAA has really hit the ball nicely, but they don't think defensively he's as good, which is why right now he's still in AAA. And when you look at, as you mentioned, the catching situation, it's almost the same thing. Nick Hundley and Caleb Joseph have been so good and really helped these starters, I think, more than anyone could have expected with Matt Wieters out, that you really don't want to disrupt that either at the expense of a guy who can maybe give you a little bit of a pop. So I think if they're hoping that Chris Davis and J.J. Hardy and some of these other guys can find their power stroke, then they won't have to worry quite as much about these other spots.
You actually lead right into my next question. I mean, we spent a lot of the year waiting for Chris Davis to get right, and it seems like lately it's even been even more in the opposite direction. He's shown a little power here recently, but he's struggled even more over the last month or so than it did earlier in the year. It's a simple question that obviously doesn't have a simple answer, but what's going on with this guy?
I don't think anybody knows. I don't think Chris knows. It's baffling. They have to keep running him out there because, let's face it, the club needs Chris Davis to succeed. Benching him for a few weeks isn't going to help anybody. They've got to find a way to get this guy right. Now, how do you do that? No one's quite sure, obviously, which is why he hasn't been able to go on any kind of a tear. I mean, he'll hit a home run, and every time he does, people will say, well, maybe that's the one that turns him around, and he has a couple loafer games where he looks terrible. So I don't think anybody expected him to go anywhere near what he did last year, but again, I don't think anyone expected this either. And it's very frustrating for the Orioles. It's very frustrating for Chris Davis. They just have to continue to ride it out and hope that he figures it out. I think a lot of it at this level has to do with confidence. You see Chris Davis swinging through pitches that last year he would have crushed. You don't see him taking as many walks lately. He's really not driving the ball. I think if he was hitting a lot of line drives, doubles in the gap, perhaps there wouldn't be quite as much of an issue. But the fact that his batting average is hovering around 200 lately here for the past month or so is really the troubling thing. He's not having good at bats, and he's also not a power threat at all anymore. And they really would like him because if he's going right, then you got to worry about Nelson Cruz and you got to worry about Adam Jones, and it just makes that middle of the order so much more threatening to the opposition.
Is there any kind of health issue there?
You know, if there is and they haven't said anything about it, I don't think so. I'm in there every day. I don't see Davis icing or really complaining about anything like that. So I don't think it's a health issue. Again, I think it's a mental issue. I think it's a confidence issue. It's a case where he needs a week or two where he's swinging the bat well to say, okay, here we go. This is it now. I can just relax and meet Chris Davis. And right now, he's just pressing. He's trying to hit home runs with every pitch, and that's just not a good way to go about it.
If I had told you in March that Chris Davis would hit 200 and slug under 400 and this team would be about four games clear of the rest of the American League East, what would you have thought of that?
Well, you could take it even farther, Matt. I mean, Matt Wieters is out for the season. Manny Machado missed the first month of the year, was scratched last night, was suspended for five games. Hardy's only got a couple home runs. I mean, you could take it even farther. Tommy Hunter has been taken out of the closer role. Zach Britton, the guy who was fighting for a spot, their ninth inning guy. So for everything that's gone wrong with this team to be where they are, I think just is a real testament to their depth and their fortitude and really the way that they play and the way Buck Showalter has instilled kind of a grittiness to this club. They play incredibly hard.
They are certainly fun to watch, and they are consistently one of the more kind of enjoyable stories around. Thanks for taking some time to join us. Brittany Gioli here on MLB.com Extras.